Pastor Chris Gordon to open up today's broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio.
The Lord wanted all the generations to see why we call Abraham the father of faith. Why do we call Abraham the father of faith? Because that day he made a conscious choice, painful as it was, and he sent away his natural son. That's the message.
I think the Puritans called that what? Mortification? Yeah. Welcome to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. So how are you at putting to death the flesh? How are you at living in grace and faith and not by your works? Well, that is what we're challenged with today from the book of Genesis as we continue our look at the life of Abraham. We're in chapter 21 today. Join us there. And if you've got a question for Pastor Chris, remember, you can always record it on your voice memo app on your phone and email it to us, questions@agradio.org. Here's Pastor Chris now with today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
Now, what we've been studying in Genesis is Abraham kind of testing out the lie of the devil. How did that go? Did God really say, come on, Abraham? You know, this is the whole question in the history of redemption. I was thinking about Psalm 78 this past week. Listen to this language and listen to what caused the Lord to confront Israel. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers. And the psalm rehearses all that God accomplished. But they sinned. How did they sin? They tested God in their hearts. How so? Listen to this. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Can he give bread? Can he really provide meat for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was furious. Why? Because they didn't believe, it says. They didn't believe in God and did not trust his salvation. And the psalm says stuff like this. What do you mean? They ate angels' food the whole way. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers, in the field of Zoan, in the land of Egypt. He divided the sea and caused them to pass. He made waters stand up like a heap. In the daytime, he led them with the cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He split rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance. He brought streams out of the rock, caused waters to run. What do you mean, can God do this? Why would you ask that? That's unbelief, he says. Now, back to Abraham. Did all of their lack of trust, all of their worry, all of their attempts to take things into their own hands, how did that fare for them? That other way brought them a lot of sorrow. It made a mess. All of their worry never altered, never prevented what God was going to do, but look at what they had to go through. And this is such an important message for us. Why would anyone try to live this life in their own wisdom, in their own pursuits, thinking I'm going to do it my way and choose that? Why would anyone in their right mind do that? Did you notice the play in the text on the word laughter? There's a big message here. In chapter 17, right after the promise, what did Abraham do when God made the promise? He laughed. It was a laughter of doubt. And then Sarah in chapter 18 in the tent overhears and laughs. And God comes and God confronts this. He's not happy about this. You did laugh. Remember what God said because of all this laughter going on, a family laughing, the laughing problem of the Abrahams? You're going to name your son Laughter. This is how our God works. Okay. You're going to run around and every time you say your son's name, it's going to be, hey, Laughter, come here. Laughter, stop that. Laughter, you knocked that off. Laughter. It's really interesting when you consider the scene that all of this laughter brought a lot of sorrow. And the point of Genesis has been to show us here these two kinds of laughter that's going on. There's a laughter of unbelief, there's a laughter of scoffing, and then there's a laughter of joy that God gives. Wait till tonight. I can't wait till tonight. I won't start. The unbelief of laughter brought sorrow. Now, the text is shining down this other kind of laughter now. After saying three times, God fulfilled his word. God did what he promised. God did what he said. What's the emphasis in the text? I want everyone to look at verse 3. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, laughter. That's what Isaac means. And then verse 6. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Do you feel the joy? Do you feel the excitement? Do you feel the whole tent filled with just great joy? God has brought an entirely different kind of laughter to me. She is looking at her son and an incredible delight of God's faithfulness. That joy has overwhelmed her. He brought this powerful laughter. So much joy. The passage is an encouragement to us because the emphasis is that this is God's work. Look at what his work just brought. His gospel, his work brings this kind of laughter. Our work, our strength, our efforts bring the other. And that is such an important message for us. If you were to look over the course of your own lives, how much have you heard God say to you? I mean, think about today. How much have you heard God say to you, I gave my son for you. I collected all that I need in terms of my justice. I collected my righteous judgment from him. From that substitute, I took that from him. You don't have to fear that. I have forgiven you all of your trespasses. They're gone. I've forgiven them. You don't have to earn that. You can trust me. You are received. I am your refuge and your strength, a very present help in trouble. Whatever trouble it is, you don't have to even fear. I'm with you. And then we get to the I wills, right? I will provide for you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will raise your very bodies up at the end. I will give you the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness shall dwell. And your life is a fight against that. You understand that? You're all fighting it. You're holding tight here to pursue happiness your way and with things. And what does that produce in your life? I'll tell you what it produces in your life. Your life's full of worry. Why do you think Jesus would say, I don't want you to worry? I don't want you to worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing. Why would he say that? Well, I don't want you to worry about your life, anything having to do with your life, what you're putting on, how you're going to feed yourselves, how you're going to eat. Gentiles worry about all that stuff, not you. Why? Because I'm your Lord and I'm with you. Why not seek first my kingdom and my righteousness? I'll take care of all that other stuff. I'll provide. Worry brings discouragement and fear and running. And we don't trust. We go in our own wisdom. And how many people, look at the sorrow at this time of year. What's supposed to be, isn't this supposed to be chestnuts roasting on an open fire? You know, is it? You know the sorrow. It's not laughter of joy. It's laughter of sorrow that's filled people today. People run to the bottle. People are running here. They're running there. They're all running around. And is joy in them? Two ways. The joy of the Lord's work has filled them. And at this moment, the Lord is now challenging Abraham. He's challenging us to let go of the past, to let go of everything that represents our own efforts. And he wants us to cast away the laughter of unbelief. That's the message here. There's one major failure that happened in the life of Abraham that topped out everything else, everything by far. Remember it? The Lord doesn't let sin go. He makes us confront it head on. You never run against sin. You never run from your past. He's going to deal with it. There was one major failure in the course of Abraham's life that had big consequences. Angry and frustrated that God had closed her womb, Sarah said, "Let's do it our way." Remember? "Let's raise up the seed ourselves." And they produced a natural seed. What was his name, boys and girls? Ishmael. And everything in that episode was directly and a direct antithesis. It was direct rebellion of what it meant to live by faith. This is why we're studying this. And so what happens? There they were for 16 years. This natural son grew up in front of them. Abraham loved him. He loved that son. But he was not the promised son. And the pain of that comes out right now. You have to feel this. Abraham throws a feast, big feast for Isaac. You've got a happy wife. Happy wife, happy home. Sarah, though, is unhappy about one thing. Verse 9. "And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham." You ready? Laughing. Same word. It's the old kind of laughter that belonged to Abraham and Sarah before this kind of laughter. Sarah, hating this scenario, seeing this as a threat, makes a prophetic statement in verse 10 that the New Testament is going to highlight. And I want you to listen to verse 10. "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not be heir with my son Isaac." This really distresses Abraham. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine hearing this? Don't look over this too quickly. Regardless of the failure, this is a terribly difficult moment in the life of Abraham. The word here is distressing. He is completely distressed over this. He doesn't know what to do with this. And this is his son. This is his natural firstborn son. And we kind of think of Sarah maybe being a little irrational here. But the surprising action is the Lord, isn't it? He comes up to Abraham. And what does he say? "Do it. Cast him away." "But God said to Abraham, 'Do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called.'" God affirms this. "I want you, Abraham, to cast out that son and the bondwoman." It's painful. So imagine the scene. Abraham saddles up his son and he takes bread and water. Imagine the tears in this. And he puts it on the shoulder. And he sees them right off in the distance. He'll never see them again. And the question that you all should have right now is, why would God make him do that? Why would God make him do that? Before I answer that, the text doesn't want you to at all think that God doesn't care about this son. That's what's overwhelming. The first thing God said to Abraham is, "Don't be distressed." This is how he treats us the whole way through. But then the rest of the narrative shows us this shocking action of Hagar and Ishmael out in the wilderness, heading to Egypt, by the way, heading to Egypt. And who shows up again? It's the angel. Remember back in chapter 16, the angel of the Lord for the first time in Genesis shows up. This is bewildering. He is concerned. He is there to help. And what does he do? He cares for them in the wilderness. Verse 20, we read that God was with them and they took a wife. He took a wife from Egypt. Here's what I get. God said that Abraham would be a blessing to every nation, and that meant Ishmael's sons too. But not just that. God would not forget that with regard to this son, his servant whom he loved, couldn't provide for this son anymore. Do you know the burden the Lord just took upon himself? "I will care for him. I will care for that son for you, Abraham. You trust me and you let him go." I've been over and over saying, You see the character of God in the Old Testament and look at the care by which he feeds them and provides for them and fulfills his word to those who were not of the promises. What kindness is it of this God who cares for the oppressed and the poor and feeds them? I want to return to this question. Why did God require Abraham to cast out this son? Here's the answer. The promised son has come. The son that Sarah says God has filled her with the laughter of joy. This other son that Abraham made filled her with the laughter of sorrow. Now, when you come to the New Testament, how does Paul apply this? Let me read this and listen carefully to Galatians 4. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? Are you not listening to what that own way is telling you, what the law exposes? That's your own way. If you're going to try your own way, you're not listening to what the law really demands. Now listen, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through the promise. Now, this may be interpreted allegorically, saying, I want you to look at this in a bigger teaching way. These women represent two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem from above is free, and she is our mother. For it's written, rejoice, laugh, O barren, one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. Now you brothers, here's how he applies it. Like Isaac, are children of promise. But just at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the spirit. So it is now. That's why you have slaughtering going on right now. But what does the scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son. For the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. Here's what he just said. The whole episode was forever to be a teaching tool for you. How does this episode a teaching tool for you? It teaches us something symbolically. What does it teach you symbolically? It's this, really simple. Abraham tried to achieve the promise by producing his own natural son. And that wife and that son represents to us, it represents to you all of our own efforts in this life to achieve the promise, to do it by our own works, to live life our own way, to achieve our own dreams, to achieve eternal life our own way. That's what these people represent to us. Abraham's efforts. And what does that lead to? Bondage. That's why the law is brought in. But the son of promise is free. Who is that? It's God's son. This is God's son who is foreshadowed here. Abraham was called to make a choice that day. Here's the choice. Which son do you choose? Which way do you choose? The one God gave or the one you made? Natural son, eternal son. Each represents a different way. And the Lord wanted all the generations to see why we call Abraham the father of faith. Why do we call Abraham the father of faith? Because that day he made a conscious choice, painful as it was, and he sent away his natural son. That's the message. The biggest test for Abraham is not the birth of Isaac. The biggest test in the next chapter is what? The sacrifice of Isaac. You see the whole story of the gospel right here? The test had to do with the death of his son Isaac. God would test him with one final great test. What was that test? Take your son, your only son, whom you love, and sacrifice him. And in faith, he would take that son, complete submission to God, you see? And he would lay him on the altar, That son, that only son, Ishmael's gone. His own way is gone. Now he's got God's son that God gave. How is this going to work? He takes his son and he puts him on the altar and he raises up the knife. And what does God say? Stop. Now I know you fear me. That's the place I want you. That's where I want you. Complete trust, complete reliance. And instead he substitutes. And you see, what we celebrate today in the fullness of time is that from a lowly virgin, not a natural conception, are we celebrating today? Not a natural conception from Joseph. We're celebrating a supernatural act of the Holy Spirit overshadowing the womb. And God gave the supernatural conception by the Spirit. And what happened when that son came? All you get in Luke chapter 1 and 2 is the laughter of joy. Wait till tonight. Rejoice, laugh, Mary, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and you will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will be called Son of the Most High. That's God's son. And the Lord says to you today, I want you to make a choice today. I want you to make a choice today. This son was put on the cross for sinners. And I want you to cast away anything in your life that is incompatible with the life of faith. Cast it away this day. What is it? You know, what is it? It brings you sorrow. It brings you bondage. This way is the way of joy, and I will give you peace. This is the peace that the Lord gives us, peace and joy. So that we can end with Psalm 126 today. Our mouth is filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. We can say among all the nations, the Lord has done great things for us and for them. Praise the Lord. Laugh with me together today that God has sent his almighty and eternally begotten Son. Amen.
You got Abounding Grace Radio, Pastor Chris Gordon taking us to God's Word that we might grow and abound in his grace. Chris will be back in just a moment to close out our time today with a word of prayer, but I'd like to leave you with our contact information. If you'd like to get a hold of us for any reason at all, maybe you're looking to be a part of this ministry financially, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe it's prayerfully. Again, please let us know. If you've got a question or comment, I'll tell you how you can reach out to us and send that question our way, and we'll do our best to get Chris behind a mic to answer it just for you. Here's our contact information. First, our phone number, 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. You can visit us online at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. And consider that somewhat like a diving board into other platforms that we are on. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Again, all of those platforms are available through our website, agradio.org. If you'd like to lick a stamp, send us a letter. The address is Abounding Grace Radio, Post Office Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Now, as mentioned, if you have a question that you would like addressed to Pastor Chris, well, here's how you do it. Get out that nice little smartphone of yours and open up the Voice Memo app. Record your question for Pastor Chris and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. It's that simple. Pastor Chris will get to it as we can, and if we use it on the air, we'll let you know when. Again, that's questions@agradio.org. Well, as promised now, once again, to close out today's broadcast with a word of prayer, here's Pastor Chris.
Lord, we have the laughter of joy in our hearts. But with that comes the sadness that we have to confess of the old way, the sadness of trying to do this our way naturally. We can't. And we repent and we ask for forgiveness for all the ways in our life that show forth that we don't trust you. And give us the kind of childlike faith that believes us, no matter how we're tried and tested, no matter what we go through, that this kind of laughter of joy would fill our lives and that we would not look back, Thank you for your love. Thank you for your care. Thank you for teaching us in this way. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen.
And amen. Have a marvelous weekend. We'll see you back here Monday as we continue our look at Genesis here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.